Lord, we recognize in your word that from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever and ever, because you have done marvelous things on our behalf. Lord, even as we have worshiped by expressing our heart in song, Lord, we continue to worship you now. As we lay our hearts before you, amen. Amen. Just real quickly, in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 13 just real fast. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9 begins and Paul writes, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Just want to look at that for a moment. Love must be sincere. What does that look like? As you express love, what does that look like? When it says love must be sincere. So just think for a moment. It says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What does that look like? It says, as it goes on in verse 10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. How do you honor someone above yourself? How does that look like? Verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. It says, practice hospitality. Paul here has given us some real practical things, but as he lays these things out, it strikes me that this will look differently to each one of us. And so we look around and we see outward things that are done. And so often, when we look at the outward things that are done or expressed, and we think, okay, I have fulfilled the command. And yet it seems like there are times in which we can do the outward things to fulfill the command, and yet we have not kept the law. We've not really done what it has said. So what I want us to do this morning is just stay before God. Because when it says honor one another above yourselves, we know because of the Spirit of God that is within us whether we keep that, whether we do that. Yeah, we can do the stuff on the outside, and yet the Spirit of God can still tell us in our heart we have not honored someone above ourselves. We can express some love outwardly, and yet the Spirit of God can say, but you have withheld. So what I want us to do right now is, as we sang about, you know, the last couple of songs, as we were worshiping about dying to self, so that we could as we come to the cross and that we would die so that we could truly live. It's only as the Spirit of God really begins to speak to us and we respond to the Spirit that we truly live. And so let's just bow our heads for a moment. God, examine our hearts this morning. Examine our hearts, O Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just speak to us. Impress upon our hearts those things that we have lacked doing. Even in those times that we were doing, yet our heart was not there. God, we're so sorry for the times that we have been self-righteous enough to go through the motion, but our heart was not right. Forgive us. For God, we desire to be a people who reflect your glory. And how can we reflect your glory if our heart is not right in your sight? So come, Lord. And in our repentance, purify our heart and forgive us for settling for mere action without a pure heart. In Jesus' precious name. It's only in His name that we would come before your altar. And worship you. Amen and amen. Okay, has this been a good week for everybody? Been a good week? Thumbs up? Okay. Anybody want to testify what's been good about it? Okay, come on up. Shocking personality up here.
Yeah. Hello. I just have a praise report. Okay. Last week I was in class, and there's somebody that we know that was battling with cancer and was experiencing a lot of pain. He had called during the class, in fact. And so we went into prayer over him during the class. And afterwards, we went by his house and caught him just as he was pulling out. And we kind of chased him down. And when we got pulled over and everything, he, not knowing anything had taken place, while we were talking, he's like, "You know, the weirdest thing happened just 20 minutes ago." And we're like, "What's that?" He said, "All of a sudden, the pain just went away, and I figured I needed to get up and start moving around while I could." And that was a witness to me. And I know that in the Word it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I can't not take the opportunity to give word to that testimony. And all glory to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, somebody else. Boston.
I survived Boston. There's snow on the ground there.
Praise God, there's snow on the ground.
But speaking of that, This is one of those things from, it was Tuesday evening. I told Tawny she needed to come testify to this thing, but she said, no, that's my job because. But she was the one that was praying. Anyway, so you know how you have to go through security at the airport and you show them your ID and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I went through security and had all my stuff and was going to go meet the rest of my coworkers, and we were going to Boston from Dallas. And so I get inside, and all of a sudden I realize I don't know where my driver's license went. It's gone. It's not in my pocket. It's not in my backpack. Search and search. I talked to the security guards. They went out and looked around, outside, inside, and everything, and didn't find it, didn't see it anywhere. And so, well, okay, I'm inside. I can get to Boston, but I may not get home. I don't know how we're going to do this. I can't rent a car. I can't do anything, right? Yeah. And so I go off to the other, down to the gate, which is a long way away, and I heard half of an announcement on the thing to come back to the security checkpoint. You know, I only heard half my name on the thing. So I go all the way back up to check it out. And security has my driver's license. And so it was like, well, here it is. But they had been trying to track me down with American and everything. But I said, well, where was it? And they said, well, it was laying on the floor. And I don't know how it could be laying on the floor because I looked, the security guards looked. It wasn't on the floor. So any case, so it was a praise report that we found it, and so we had to go and take the opportunity to do that. You got to use your praise reports when you have them.
Amen. Thank you. I heard a pastor was sharing once with testimony similar to what Ray just said. People lose stuff, and then they've looked and they've looked and they just cannot find it, and then all they just start saying, well, God, I want my thing back, whatever it was, and then it just materializes, just poof, out of thin air. Now, whether you think that's possible or not, there are people who have testified that that has happened in their life. And so we just want to thank God for a found driver's license just showing up on the floor after you've looked there. Amen. Okay, anybody else have a testimony?
A lot of people might think this is small, but to me, it was showing.
If it happens to you, it's not small. You know? It may be small to anybody else who hears it, but it's personal to you, so it's big.
Yeah. It was about 6 months ago. I didn't have no more little cards, you know, that I had to send in with my insurance payment. So I called them and I told them, I said, you need to send me a book so I can send my insurance in for my medication. And she looked and she said, Miss Tyler said, you're paid up till the first of the year. And I said, what'd you say? She said, you're paid up till the first of the year. Said, I'll send you the payment before the first. Well, it went on and on and on, and about the first of the year, it was getting close time to send my insurance payment in. So I called her again, and she looked, and she said, Miss Tyler, you're paid up through 2009. You don't owe nothing until 2001 to 2010. I said, how can that be? And she said, well, it shows it on record. You're paid up till 2010. And I said, would you please send me a paper showing that so I'll quit calling you? And I said, thank you, Lord. I'm paid up till 2010.
Oh, well, praise God. That is so good. That's just a testimony of God's provision. You know, sometimes we ask God to provide for us, and then He does in ways that are shocking to us. So, well, praise God for that. Okay, anybody else? Okay, come on up. Yes, I know you will.
I apologize for that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Anyway, I just kind of spoke to God and said, you know, if I had a chance that I would say something about this. But I know that my praise here in this worship for God is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I just want to say thank you for being patient with me and everything like that. But, you know, the garment of praise and all that, and how it lifts us up and gets rid of the heaviness and all that. I'm usually happy, pretty chipper, and pretty loud, but I'm here to tell you that with my artistic background that I'm one of the most depressed people you've ever met. And I mean that severely. I refuse to take a pill to clean my house. I just refuse. But I am one of the most depressed people. When I'm not up, I'm completely down. And do you know that God has given me this garment of praise that is lifting me up and lifting me up out of this? And I'm here to tell you that every single one, that this gift has been given to everybody. So, you know, if you get to that point where you don't think you can handle it anymore, man, just start praising and keep on praising. And you're going to hit some walls and you're going to hit some roadblocks, but you just keep driving through it.
Amen.
And then you got a place to stand. And I just say, praise God, thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pam. Yeah. Is there somewhere in the Bible talks about a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Isn't that so true? You know, this is my 2 cents worth on that. You know, anytime we elevate our eyes of the Spirit heavenward, it changes everything. So the perspective that we behold and we see as we go through this life depends upon what we fix our eyes on. And if we fix our eyes on the things above, then our spirit is lifted up. And there really is a spirit of heaviness that will go away because we see the things of God. Now, if we fix our eyes on the things of this world, we get depressed real fast. Amen? So the challenge that Paul tells us, let us fix our heart on things above. Let us set our heart on things above. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so we choose then to elevate our focus on things above. Amen? That's good stuff. Well, 2 weeks ago we talked about, in John chapter 16 tells us that, well, let me read it instead of paraphrase it. In John 16:14 says, He, referring to the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me, Jesus says, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Okay? So just when we were talking about this glory, how is Jesus glorified? One of the ways that Jesus says that He is glorified is that the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Now, the whole concept on that is this. It's not that, okay, I've now got this knowledge, and that's it. But the Holy Spirit takes from what is from Jesus and He makes it known to us so that as we walk through life and as we walk through this life, we hear the voice of the Spirit and then we begin to walk out what the Spirit speaks for us and what the Spirit speaks into us. And so when we walk through life and just automatically stuff happens, just as we go through life, Jesus is glorified. A lot of Christians can walk through life and nothing is glorified. Amen? That is why so many people look at Christians and say, well, if that is what, I'm not interested. Because they're walking through life and nothing is being glorified as they walk through life. They're just going like this, okay? I guess I could use my regular mic. That would make free my hands. Oh, praise God. So the Spirit of God takes from what was up. Because we're doing what God has spoken or impressed upon our heart to do, and things begin to happen. Not because of us, but because the Spirit of God begins to flow in our walking out in faith and obedience to what He has spoken to us. And when that happens, the Lord Jesus becomes glorified. Okay? But if I'm just walking through my life as a Christian, not hearing from God, and just going through life, Jesus is not glorified. Amen? So it's really it's important then that we are a people who train our ears to hear the voice of God's Spirit and then walk out that which God has put into our heart. We're walking it out. We're just obeying what God has impressed upon our heart and spoken to us, and we're walking it out in faith. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to leave the results to whom? It's not... See, we don't have to produce the results. Amen? We need to understand this. We don't produce the results. It's the Spirit of God that produces the results. He has called us to walk out in obedience what He has spoken to us to do. But sometimes we hear the voice of God and we say, okay, this is what's going to happen. Well, to be honest with you, we don't know what's going to happen. But God, we know what, listen, God spoke to Abraham and He says, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac and I want you to go to Mount Moriah and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Did Abraham know what was going to happen? Abraham's walking this thing out, and the Bible says that Abraham reckoned, he's trying to figure this out, because he heard God's voice, and he's walking it out in obedience. He has faith in God, and he says, I just don't understand this whole thing. I know what God has said to do, and I'm going to do it. But he's trying to make sense with his mind. And the best thing that he could come up with is, you know, if I do what God has told me to do, and that is to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, Isaac is the promised one. And if I sacrifice Isaac, but he's the promised one, and the lineage will end if I sacrifice Isaac, and yet that's what God has told me to do, so I'm going to do that. And then he says, but you know, even if I sacrifice him and kill him, that's what a sacrifice is, even if I kill him as a sacrifice, God is able to raise him from the dead. And so I said, okay, that's the best I can conceive of. But listen, Abraham did not go to Mount Moriah, this three-day journey. He did not go saying, you know, all I have to do is just go through the motions and an angel of the Lord is going to stop my hand as I start to bring the knife down. He had no clue that that was going to happen. All Abraham is doing, he's just walking in obedience to what God has told him to do. God's going to end up producing some results through that. You know, when I talk to individuals and encourage them to share a testimony, a lot of people are scared to share their testimony. Why? And the number one reason that I hear over and over again from people is, it's almost like they think if I share my testimony, then I somehow have to get this person from point A to point B. In other words, let's say I want to get them saved. You know, I want to see them saved. And so we think in terms of I got to get them saved. Well, it's not. I'm getting them saved. God doesn't tell us to get them saved. God tells us to share our testimony. It is the Spirit of God that draws men to the Father. Amen? It's not you. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God needs a tool, okay? And that's us. Okay, so we're going through life and the Lord says, yeah, share your testimony or share this thing that has happened. You know, that's all you have to do. You just have to declare what God has done in your life. You can just declare how God has provided funds somehow, how, somewhere, paid up. You don't know how, but it got paid up. Praise God. You can testify that I don't know where this thing came from that was lying on the ground, the driver's license, but it wasn't there at one point, and now it was. So you don't have to explain how God did that. You just have to declare what has happened. Okay? And as you declare that stuff, then it's the Spirit of God begins to move on the hearts of men and women. So it's not us, it's the Spirit of God. So when God speaks then, and the voice of the Lord begins to take some things from Jesus and makes them known to us, and our minds are changed, and we begin to think differently. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and says, this is what I want you to do. And so you just do it. As we walk along, then that provides this, we're this vessel for the Spirit of God then to begin to do things through us. It's not that we have to produce them. It's the Spirit of God that produces that. That makes sense? Okay, well, let me say that again. Does that make sense? Okay, it's not us. If we think it's us, then everything we do is just is works. We just got to work really hard at this. Because some of us can work really hard and never get it right. Amen? Then last week we talked about being glory reflectors. So dropping Tony off for work on Tuesday, and he says, I'm just going to be a glory reflector today, and I love that. In 2 Corinthians, now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay, so with unveiled faces, we all reflect the Lord's glory. Amen? Yeah. We are glory reflectors. Whether we think in those terms or not, that's who we are. Because the Word says, with unveiled faces, we all reflect the Lord's glory. Amen? Yeah. We do. Now, we just want to take our veil off so we reflect it more. Amen? We don't want to hide it. And we're being transformed into His likeness, not transformed into a better image of ourselves. Increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Now, what's the ministry? Reflecting His glory. That's your ministry. To reflect His glory. So somebody said, oh man, what's your ministry? Oh, I just reflect the Lord's glory. Now, how do you reflect the Lord's glory? Well, you lift your veil off and you know, the things that God has done in you can be seen. But also as you're walking through this life and you're hearing God's Spirit speak the things into your... Amen? They see things differently that are in you than are in other people who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so we do not lose heart because we have this ministry. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the Word of God. On the contrary, to living a secret and shameful ways, he says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perished. They are blinded by the God of this world. And they just can't see it for whatever reason. It's not that see, we're reflecting it. Sometimes we reflect it poorly. Sometimes we reflect it really brilliantly. But we move the veil so that the glory of the Lord can be seen in us. But some people still miss it because the God of this world has blinded their eyes to it. But it goes on, it says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now look at verse 6 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now let's look at that for a moment. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. Now that's way back in Genesis 1. that God said made His light shine in our heart. So where is God's light shining today? In our hearts. So Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, He says, you are the light of the world. He says, So He said, because you are the light of the world in verse 16, He says, so therefore, let your light shine so that all men may see your light. Okay. So we are glory reflectors. We are light shiners. Also that the world can see Jesus. It's His light that shines forth from us. Amen? So He says, what do we live for? What's Paul telling the Corinthians? This is what you live for. You live to reflect the glory of the Lord. He tells the Corinthians, His light shines in you. So you can't hide this anymore. It shines forth from you. Now, we want to be the brightest light that we can be for the Lord. Amen? We want to reflect the glory of the Lord as well as we can reflect it. Why? So, because it's all about Him and not about us. And one of the real struggles that we have is as we live on this earth, sometimes we get it mixed up. And sometimes we want this thing to be about us. Amen? Come on, we've all been there. That, I just need to chill out and I need a break for myself. Yeah? Well, wait a minute. It's not about me and what I want. It's not about what I can get out of life. It's about how I can reflect the glory of the Lord. It's about how Jesus' light that is in me can shine out. That's what it's all about. So if we don't think in those terms, guess what happens? If we don't think in the terms that it is Christ's light is in me and I am to shine that light into all the world, if I don't think in terms of I'm this glory reflector and I'm to lift this veil so the people of the world can see, you know what happens? I content myself just with getting by in this world. And it's kind of like, see, there's this huge difference between people who think in terms of, I've given my heart to Jesus and so I just got to get through this life so that I can go to heaven. And so we content ourselves to get through this life. And that's all it is about. And so if I'm going to get through this life the best that I can do it, I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen? I'm going to do what I want to do because I think I know what's best for me. And so I content myself in just getting through this life the best that I can do, doing what I want to do, knowing that I get to go to heaven. And that's it. But really, there's a difference then between that type of person and the person who thinks God has called me to shine His light into the world. God has given me a higher calling and a higher purpose than just getting through this life until I die and then I get to go to heaven. There's something greater than that. And the greater thing that is that God says, you are my glory reflector to the world. Through you, I want to reveal my glory. Through you, my light is going to shine. And all of a sudden, it's not about me just getting through life so I can get to heaven. It's God has purposed some things in my life so that I live then so that light can be seen, His light. I live so that glory can be seen, His glory, through the way I live. Amen? Now that's an intentional way of living. It doesn't just happen, it's an intentional way that we live. So it's a dying to self, as Jesus would say about dying to self, and Paul talks about that too, but we live for Christ. We die to self, but we live for Christ. Now, look at verse 7. He says, but now this is now we're going back to, we're living in this world, and this is the lot that we find ourselves in this world. He says, but we have this treasure and in jars of clay. Okay. So the jars of clay is flesh and blood, okay? And jars of clay is not something that is really special in itself, okay? You know, it's not like he said we have this treasure in this golden vessel or anything like that. It's just the jars of clay. Jars of clay are easily broken. Jars of clay are pretty common. They were used for just common stuff. This treasure is what? The treasure is this light of Christ has been put in us. So in this jars of clay, God has taken His light and put it in us to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. So I want you to think for a second. God, who created, who said, let there be light, formed out of darkness. He takes that light and He puts it in us. Where did that light come from back in Genesis 1? So if He creates light on day 1 and He creates a sun on day 3, where did the light come from on day 1? It's from Him. Okay, so He calls this light out of darkness. This is divine light. This is light that comes forth from His nature, and He puts it in humans. He puts something that is divine in us to show that His all-surpassing power, this is from God, this treasure. And it's not from us. So He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We go through this. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We may be struck down, but not destroyed. Because of the treasure that is in us. That which God has put in us sustains us, even though the shell that is containing it may be crushed and broken, and one day will wear out, yet we are not defeated. Why? Because that which is put in us is something that came from God Himself and is eternal. So His light, the treasure, may also be revealed in our body. We want the life of Jesus revealed in us. In order to do that, we must embrace Him. If we carry around in our body the death of Jesus, that work that He did for us, so that when Christ died, Paul would say, we died too. So that when Christ rose from the dead, we rise too. We have eternal life because He came out of the grave. So we embrace His death so that His life can be seen in us. We die so that we can live for Him. We embrace His death so that His life can be seen. For we who are alive in our body, okay, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So Paul is wrestling with this concept that, how do you express to somebody that I have died? It's no longer my life that I live. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. How do you express that? So people are looking at you and they say, yeah, but I'm looking at Sherry, and yet Sherry says, but it's not me that you're looking at. You're looking at Christ in me because I have given my life to Christ. And the world sees Sherry, and yet not really, because they see Christ in Sherry. Now, some people who have this veil, blocking them so they cannot see the glory of the Lord, see Sherry. And they just see a physical body. But some other people see beyond that, and they say, but there is something different about her than Caleb. Okay, for this intents and purposes, Caleb, you're an unbeliever, okay? But I know that's not true. Okay, and so they look at Caleb and they say, well, flesh and blood. But there's something different about this one who has flesh and blood. There is something different about this person. They may not be able to articulate what it is, but they can see the difference because one has life in them. It's the life of Jesus Christ in them. And when they see that, they begin to see the glory of God and what He has done for us and what He wants to do for them. And so He says, you know, I carry around the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus could be seen. I died to myself. I think it's this is another way of putting it. It's like Paul could say it this way. Yeah, I just get myself out of the way so Jesus can be seen. Yeah. The things that I want, I surrender so the things that Jesus wants to do through me can be done. But if I've never surrendered those things, then Jesus has to kind of work His way through all that stuff, and it clutters it up. And so we just want to get out of the way and let the Spirit of God move through us so that Jesus can be seen in us. That makes sense? Let me tell you a quick story, and then we'll end with this. So my theology, this is how your theology gets formed. You read this stuff, and then you see it working. And this happened on January 2nd, okay? And Joyce was in real bad shape at that point. And so George and Marley came over, and they wanted Joyce to pray for her. Marley wanted Joyce to pray for her. And so that afternoon, Joyce and I were talking, and Joyce is giving me a honey-do list of things to do after she's dead. Okay. She says, you know, here are some things that I wanted to get done before Christmas for some people, and, you know, it didn't get done, and so can you see that these things are done? Because I'm not going to get to do them, okay? It's kind of like that kind of conversation. And so I'm thinking, does she know something that I don't know? Is she telling me she's going to die tonight or something? And so, you know, so I better get this list out because she's telling me, okay, I want this done, and I'd like for these people to get some of this stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then we kind of go on to some other things, and she can hardly talk. And she can quickly. And so I'm thinking, oh, that's right. 3 days ago, Marley had talked with Joyce and about Joyce praying for her. And so if that's going to happen, we better get Marley over here real fast because there aren't too many days left. And so I call up George and I said, George, are you doing anything tonight? And he says, yeah. Or he said, no. And I said, well, come on over. And Joyce will pray for you, or pray for Marley. So they come over. So we go back in the bedroom, and Joyce, so Marley kneels down by the bed, you know, I'm going to have my wife pray for her, you know. And so the only thing Joyce can remember of that evening was she can remember me taking her hand, the Spirit of God fell into that room. And it's kind of like, oh, this is a holy moment. And so when Joyce was done praying for Marley, George says, will you pray for me too? And so Joyce prays for George, and George, she doesn't remember you at all. She just she just remembers me putting her hand on it. And so, you know, so when she's done praying, and George and Marley and I go out into the front room, and we're talking, you know, and it struck me, as I'm watching this thing unfold. It is amazing. You don't have to have much life in you for the Spirit of God to begin to do some stuff. Okay? And so then it was about 4 days later, God touches Joyce again and kind of gets her back going in the right direction and gets her out of bed. And so we're talking about it. And she said, "Why remember you putting my hand on her head?" And that's about all I remember. And so as Joyce and I talk about that, this incident, it came to this conclusion that all it takes is I just got to get me out of the way for the Spirit of God to begin to come. And so I think that's what Paul talks about when he's saying, you know, we need to die to self so that Christ can be seen in us. Sometimes we just need to get our self out of the way so the Spirit can flow unhindered. Because sometimes I think if I don't understand what's going on, I move myself from this process so that I don't get in the way of the Spirit moving where the Spirit wants to go through me. Because see, I am a vessel that has the light of Christ shining out of me. I am a glory reflector. God, I want to get out of the way so the light can be seen brightly and the glory reflected brilliantly. And sometimes I get in the way and I just keep it from happening to the fullest extent that God wants it and purposes it to happen. And I guess what, you know, so that event on January 2nd, you know, in the bedroom with Joyce and George and Marley, just, I guess, it was branded in my mind how much we can interfere or how much we can enable the Spirit of God to go and work through us. And it's like, God, you know, I want my, you know, I guess the best, I just want myself out of the way so that in purity the image of Jesus can be seen. The light of Christ that is in me can be seen. And so I purpose, you know, I pray that we would purpose that God remove us so that we are not in the way. You know. So I purpose to step aside so that the Spirit of God can flow. So the Spirit of God can illuminate and the light can be seen. Even in jars of clay, the Spirit of God goes forth. The light of Christ can be seen in us, even in jars of clay. So that which is of value, the treasure, is not... That which is of value, which is the treasure that is held in this jar of clay, it is such a distinct... There's such a distinct contrast. Jars of clay, common, something, a treasure, a very valuable thing. I want my jar of clay not to get in the way. I want His light to be seen in me. So let's pray for a moment. And where we're going to pray this morning. Is that God has a purpose for your life, not only today, but this week. God, help us be conscious of your purpose. God, make us aware and conscious of your purpose for us. Lord, we've been talking for several weeks about your purpose, that we are glory reflectors. We are we shine light that has been placed in us. The light of Christ is in us, and we shine forth. Now, God has purposed that for your life this week. That is what your purpose is this week. But God, I would ask more than that. I would ask that you would keep us very conscious of that. But Lord God, may we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us throughout this week on the things that you would have us do that would enable your glory to be seen and your light to be expressed. So that, Lord, we don't go through this week that we're about to enter and just get through it. We want more than that, Lord. We want to be victorious in this week. We want to not just get through this week, but God, by your Holy Spirit speaking to us, we want to be alive in such a way, and we want to live in such a manner that your glory is reflected and your light seen. We are yours. We have chosen to embrace you as Lord. So in grace, help us not get in the way. Help us to yield our lives to you, so that your Spirit can flow in us and through us unhindered, so that just exactly what you want to happen in us is done. So Lord, this morning, we commit ourselves to you. What you ask of us, we will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we have a Shabbat, we're gonna have a real quick prayer from Mike Rabel. He sent an email yesterday, and his prayer request is on the bulletin board out there. But one of the things he said is throughout the day he's going to. And then he also had mentioned, and I put this in the handout also, he gave a report that there were 17 churches that belonged to this one out or ministry or something. It's the first time in their history that they all got together. First time in their history that Christian leaders got together. Now when something happens, as the Lord just impresses upon your heart, when you bring that thought to you, pray for Mike, okay, and throughout the rest of this day. Just protection over him and fruit be born of this meeting. So let's do that real quick. Well, God, we would come as a body and we would just agree that as Mike meets with these people who is Morocco, your will would be done there just as it is in heaven. That there would no longer be a barrier between here and there, here and in heaven. That your will that is done in heaven, let it be done in Mike's house this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and then real quick, a celebration. Dave and Sherry, this is their anniversary today. How many years? 39. Woohoo! All right, that's good. Okay, let's stand, shall we? And let's have a Shabbat, which is all glory to Jesus. Standing, Joe has one thing. I'm glad you waved your clipboard.
Okay. I announced this last week, but just so that y'all will know, I'm going to put this on the foyer table back there. It's a sign-up sheet for anybody that has work that they need done around their house or wherever. We have 16 youth and folks that are going to go on mission trips this summer. We have 13 going to Mexico. We have 3 others going to various other places, Honduras, Guatemala, and Italy. So we are working on raising funds. If you will just sign up and put a contact number, and then I will get with you and set the dates and times when we will come out and do work around your place for donations. All right? Thank you.
Anybody have a sewer they need cleaned out? See Joe.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm thank you, Joe. I'm supposed to announce Nikki Truesdale called, and they were sick. So she asked if I would make an announcement that those who are sending their kids to Dry Gulch this summer, you need to have your $50 deposit in by Wednesday. Okay, so bring it to Pioneer Club with you.